You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
It's the start of a new series. We're looking at what's called removing the shadow of sin. It's something God was saying to me at the tail end of last year. And it's something actually as part of the ministers' conference that we were looking at. I gave a little talk on what this meant for me personally. How does that work out for me as a pastor? But let's pray at the beginning of this message. So I want to commit this to God this morning. We want him to show up, don't we, and talk to us. So, Father, will you come and will you open up your word to us this morning? Lord, we thank you for what you've written. Lord, it's not ambiguous. It speaks truth and it speaks life and it gives us opportunity to respond. And Father, I pray that we respond to your words this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you've already been speaking to us, particularly as we've been praying out the back. So we would pray, come Holy Spirit, Lord, take away all of me and make it all of you, we pray, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, removing the shadow of sin. When I say the word shadow, what do you think of? It's not necessarily a right or wrong answer here. What do you think of? Sun? Darkness? Sorrow? Hunger? What do you think of? I mean, the Bible, come on, you're going to say to me, well, Darren, what does the Bible say? That's probably where we should go. What does the Bible say about shadows? The word shadow is actually used in several different ways in the Bible. The obvious and literal meaning, you've spoken about it already this morning. You can look at it in 2 Kings 20, 9 to 11, where the shadow talks about the sun being moved. So we've got about sun and shadows. Isaiah cried out to the Lord, and the shadow of the sun was moving in different directions as he cried out. Or in Acts 5, 15, where the people were hoping for the shadow of Peter as he was passing by. If only his shadow would come over the sick person, if that might be cast over them, they might be healed. And they brought their people out onto the streets that they might have that shadow of Peter come over them. There's also places in the scripture where it means shelter or safety. I'm sure if you think about the Psalms, you can think about many of those things where we take refuge or shadow in the shadow of God's wings. We take refuge in that shadow. Psalms talk about that a lot. Even Isaiah 30 as well, verse 2, it talks about the trust in the shadow of Egypt. So it's another kind of shadowing, a protective shadow. We are under those wings. But it can also be used figuratively to mean things that are symbolic for something else. I'm sure if you think about the law of Moses, it described the shadow of Christ. Colossians, Hebrews speaks about that quite a lot. And that also tends to add a bit to the beginning of that. We talk about foreshadowing, don't we? So not just a shadow, but that foreshadowing. The Old Testament was pointing towards Christ. So the Bible uses the word shadow in quite a number of different ways. And obviously part of the key of saying removing the shadow of sin, you're going to say, well, what shadow are we talking about here? And we need to define what that looks like. So let me give you a little bit of context as to how I arrived at this series. When I was inquiring from God what the next series might be, obviously it made sense that it would continue on from our Living Well series, but also in the context of our motto verse. So we put this verse up above the church each year. It's something different. We feel that's what God is saying to us, and we kind of hang things off that. The message at the beginning of the year was actually focused on this verse. And if you were journeying with us in 2017, we says, what does 2017 actually look like? And if you remember, we turned the letters around, and when you read the 2017, it looked like soil. And then someone quite clever said to me, what does 2018 look like then? Can you do the same with that? And actually, when we turn 2018 over, we get the word bios from the word 2018. Can you see that? So if you flick 2018 right over 128 degrees, 180 degrees. Ooh, that'd be a cute angle. You have 8102, which reads like B-I-O-S. I'm not making too much of this because it doesn't work for 2019 unless you're very, very clever and you can help me with that one. But what is our bios? What does it say? And actually, if you look it up, it says God's gift of physical life is our bios, animating all creation to live and move and have its being. In a sense, to further use the bios term, we get the word biography from that when you start breaking bios down. Our biography, our story. What is our story? What is our personal story? What is God writing? And part of what we're doing with this new series is to look at how we live and grow in maturity in the light of God's wondrous gift to us. He's given us this gift of life. How are we living? So my thinking went along these lines. If we're living well, and you can remember what well is, what was it? It's on the screen if you can't remember. W stands for worship, E was evangelism, L was learning, and the last L is life. And it was a repeating pattern, if you remember. We connect with God. We're so full of God, we can't help but tell people about God. We therefore want to know a little bit more about this God, so we start learning and we start living a life and go, wow, this is wonderful. I worship God, and therefore I tell people about it. And then I start learning and living a bit more, and it keeps going round and round. And that should be our daily experience. If you don't feel you're connected with God this morning, are you worshipping him? And that was what we're saying. Are we living well? So, as we are living well, hopefully we are dying to self. We want to be more like Christ on a daily basis. But some people are lacking in that joy and enthusiasm of the gospel anymore. Maybe you feel like you're living in the shadows a little bit. Are you making the most of every situation for the sake of furthering the kingdom of God? Or has it come back about me? Actually, I'm not very happy and I'm in darkness at the moment. It's all about me. What does the Bible say? Let's see what the Bible says. I love this quote here. You probably recognize it well from the Psalms. Even though I got on the Christian bus through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for there are complimentary drinks and toilets that can comfort me. Do you recognize it well? It's not what the psalm says, is it? But actually, has church become a bit like that? I'm on the bus for the journey and I'm not very happy anymore. Things aren't working out the way I want it. Have we been missold a lie about what church is about? Do we long to engage in brokenness, no matter what the cost? Or are we looking for comfortable lives? Yes, God is there, but let's keep things nice and tidy until he comes back again. As our motto verse says, we do need more understanding that we are at war. I don't know if you remember back to that message, and I want to be careful with war language, because some people, and we can see it on the telly, is dreadful. But actually, we are at war with an enemy that wants to destroy us as Christians. Even this week, I actually received an email with books being written about things that are trying to destroy the church at the moment, the dangers the church is facing. Yes, they make the headlines because they're new books and they're releasing them. And what do they say? Well, actually, there's nothing new under the sun. It's always been like this. But are we aware of it still? Subtle changes might creep in, whether it's apathy or whether it's joining the nice bus journey. It sounds nice, get on the Christian bus, come and have a time, good time with God, but is it biblical? What do the scriptures say? If you were to dive into Ephesians, we've got a couple of quotes there, Ephesians 2, right at the beginning of that chapter. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 2 says this: as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And you flick towards the end of Ephesians 6 and verse 12. It reminds us about what our battle is about. What is our struggle with? Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So if we're to define what this shadow of sin looks like, I think we need to understand what our lives are like in order to realize what we need setting free from. We need to understand what the battles and struggles are in order to engage or to step into the light. And how do we fight? We looked at this a little bit midweek. If you go back to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10, what do we fight with? 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 4 to 5. They say, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. If you came to the intentional discipleship on Wednesday evening, which is our midweek Bible study, we looked at some of the tools to handle God's word well and to engage in this fight, not in complicated ways, but to be equipped in certain ways. How do we engage with somebody when they say, well, I believe this? Can you just come back and say, well, I believe something else? It doesn't actually cut it, your word against my word, but what does the Bible say? It doesn't need to be hard, but obviously we need to do it with love and gentleness, but equally we need to be certain of God's word. And actually one of the phrases I used midweek was, we need to walk the talk. It's all very well saying, I believe this, but when we behave in a completely different way, people say, really? Do you really believe it? How does that work out? Because if you're telling me that this is good and I should follow this and you aren't and you can't, who is this God that you're telling me I need to follow? It may be that you are conflicted. I think sometimes when you listen to the scriptures, you can end up with one foot in the world and you can end up one foot in the Bible. It was interesting, we were talking about this midweek actually, or just at the men's evening. But one of the questions that was thrown out there, and it's off the back of something I said in a previous message, if you believe science has disproved a lot of the Bible now, i.e. Genesis isn't correct, it's a nice story, but science has disproved all of that, you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the Bible, and boom, your foundation has gone. There is no creator God who created the world in 6 days. And it's very interesting because we were talking about this and the message was already written before we gathered on Thursday. And we had a really good discussion about this. Church, do you believe there is a creator God who created the world in 6 days as the Bible said so? And if you don't believe it, then you are calling Jesus a liar. I've put it out there before. If you want to look at Mark 10:6, they are Jesus' words. This is what Jesus says. He quotes Genesis 1:27. You look it up in your Bibles, it's there too. Mark 10:6, Jesus' words. Jesus says, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Now, these are Jesus' words. He says there's a beginning, which is what it says in Genesis. It says there's a creation. That's what Jesus says it was. And he said there was male and female that were created at the beginning. He doesn't talk about millions of years, doesn't talk about survival of the fittest, Jesus' words. If we don't believe that, I throw it out to you, and by all means come back and wrestle this with me. But we're calling Jesus a liar, and we're calling God a liar, and a God who is incapable of telling us how it was there at the beginning. If that is what you believe, I believe your foundation has gone. Will you be able to handle God's word well? To a degree, maybe, but you're soon going to come undone because you won't believe half of it. And this is the very reason, maybe for some, you've become fence sitters at church for years and years. I've seen it in many churches. Because if you were hard pressed, you would actually admit you don't believe the foundational things that the scriptures say, and therefore I would say you are living in the shadows. And that is why I think this series is so important. So I've got a couple of questions. Ask yourself this question this morning. As a Christian, do you feel you are living in the shadows? Now, this isn't a telling off thing, because actually I think all of us can put our hands up and say, at some point I've been in the shadows, or I am still in those places, and there's still things I wrestle with. So we're all in the same boat, guys. It's not saying anybody's better than anybody else. But if you're living in the shadows, do you think that's where God wants you to be? Maybe you're here today because you're not yet a Christian. I use the word yet, but you want to find out more about what this God is about. Question for you: does the darkness of this world sometimes seem insane to you? You know it's wrong, but you join other causes. Now, they might be political or animal rights or environmental right groups, whatever they might be. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things necessarily. But nonetheless, you recognize something more significant. There is an injustice in this world. There is suffering, and you recognize that it's not right. Or maybe you sat here this morning and say, hurry up, Darren, it's all mumbo jumbo. I want to get back for my lunch. You choose. But I asked the question, what are your shadows? And this is what we're going to be looking at as part of this introduction. And I want you just to stop and think for a moment. I think it's really good that we give God a chance to talk to us. So I don't know necessarily what your answer is, but God does. So just for a moment, let's just pause and say, God, what are my shadows? What are my shadows? You might want to close your eyes, but let's just take a few minutes just to ask God to come and speak to us. I want you to hold those thoughts. I believe God is quick to answer. I believe if you had a gut feeling inside that you instantly said, I know it's that, then hold on to that for a moment. And we will pray about this. But I want you to give me some feedback. Part of what we said here at church is we want to be an oversight. We want to serve you as church. We want to see what God is doing. It's where it really fits into our motto verse, do you not perceive it? If you do, tell us, because we want to serve you. And part of this message, part of this series that we're going to do over the next X amount of weeks is to answer some of those questions that you might have. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to share publicly right now, but what are those things that you struggle with? And do talk to me afterwards, or talk to one of the others. Do come for prayer this morning. It doesn't have to be a long thing. You might say, do you know what? I've still been really wrestling with this all my life. But over these next 15 weeks, we can address some of those things. One of the problems we have generally as an oversight, and I'm sure anybody who's been in any sort of leadership role, you find out from other people what the problems are, what the grumblings are. They'll tell everybody else, but they won't tell you. So please come and tell me, what are those things? You know, let's not grumble on our own. Let's not grumble to other people. Come and talk to me or Terry or Sue, or use the feedback box. Let's be church that we start removing some of these shadows. So I'm asking God what it should look like. Do you not perceive it? Come and tell me. What shadows are we going to aim to illuminate? This series is going to be about 15 weeks. There's various half terms and bank holidays and everything else that are going to come along. And Easter, which is incredibly early this year. I'm sure you're all looking forward to your chocolate. Apparently it's a good stat to save our children from childhood obesity. We have to eat the chocolate for them, apparently. So there you go. I put that out there this morning. But over these next 15 weeks, what are we going to look like? The reason why we've actually picked some of these topic titles is that for not everybody here has been able to get to the Wednesday evenings, and we appreciate that. Not everybody can make that time. But there's been some fabulous stuff that's been going on as part of that Firm Foundations course and part of the ID. So if you've been to some of those, some of the topics you might recognize and say, okay, yeah, we've had a little look at that, and we'll go over it again. So firm foundations and our current ID stuff that's going on a Wednesday, I encourage you to come along. But part of this, we've got four speakers that are lined up as well. So each month, I'm going to try and get somebody to come in that shares their story and says, this is what my obedience looked like. This is when I follow Christ, and this is what he's done in and through me. Next week, let's not put him off. Our first speaker is Sam Ward. Now, I don't know if you've heard of Sam Ward. He's not the England international hockey player. He works for the Eden Project, and this is what it says on his website. Sam is the national director of the Eden Network, which I'll tell you a bit more about in a minute. He joined Eden Openshore as a volunteer in 2000, taking leadership of both the team and its partner church in 2007. Today, he's focused on growing the health and reach of the network across the UK. And we're blessed to have him to come and share his story with us, how God took what he had to offer and multiplied that obedience. And they've seen Eden projects go in. He'll tell you all the stats next time around. But people that have moved into community and seen that community changed. And it's very interesting knowing folk here that have joining us recently. It talks about people that are catalysts to the kingdom of God coming. And one of the very interesting stats is, it talks about three R's, but one of the R's is the returners. You might have the remainers, you might have those that are already there, but the people that return, when people return to a community and God uses them and puts them in a place, God starts doing amazing things. And Sam will tell us all about that next week. So each month, we're going to have somebody come in. We've got Darren coming in from the City Mission. Morris is going to come and talk to us as well. Morris Markham's got some stuff. And I've got another chap, which is he's running a church over in Birmingham at the moment. He's an ex-drug dealer. He's got the most amazing testimony about what God has done in his life. And that little church over there has just grown dramatically. They have a baptism every month. People are coming to faith left, right, and center. Those are the people that he was dealing drugs to. He's now dealing the gospel to, and they're getting saved. And God is just doing an amazing work through him. So we're going to invite some of these people to come along and tell their story. What happened when I stepped out of the shadows and into that light? So what are the things we're going to look at? Well, I've kind of labeled each week called Removes the Shadows. So what removes the shadows? Well, knowledge removes the shadows. Love removes shadows. It might be an eye test for you up there. Resilience removes shadows. Prayer, obedience, transformation, serving, rejoicing, living removes these shadows. And each week, they're going to have some sort of subheadings. So for example, rejoicing, we're going to cover things like witnessing in the workplace, loving our neighbours. So part of that, those are the headlines, but I want you to help me write the subtitles. So if there are any things that you've got that you say, do you know what, Darren, it'd be really lovely to say, how do I step out of the shadow of this? Come and talk to me. I'm really keen to hear, because I felt God has given me this and I've stepped into it this far. I'm now asking you to help me with the next step, because that is what it's about. That is church. It's not me standing up here just telling you what I think you need to hear. It's about God speaking to each of us. Do you not perceive it? If you do, please tell me. It's very helpful. So, where are we at now? Talk to us. Tell us what God is saying today. Please don't leave here having been reminded by God maybe of that thing. And I don't know what that thing is for you, but as we closed our eyes a moment ago, I think God is very quick to speak. You instantly get that gut reaction. If you say, I don't hear the audible voice of God, not many people do, but you instantly get that thought where you say, well, what's God saying to me? Well, actually, it is that thing again. And that thing, you can either sweep back into the shadows and pretend it doesn't exist, or you can be intentional today and say, I'm going to face that thing. Why is it important? If you dive back into 1 John, which was part of our reading this morning, 1 John 1, right at the beginning there, or verse 5 in, it talks about the message. What is the message? This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, I know it's going to be hard for some people here this morning. We tend to run away. It tends to be our first gut reaction, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I was definitely a runner. If something happened, I just wanted to run away from it. It's because our first mother and father did that, Adam and Eve, when sin entered the world. If you flip right back to the beginning of your Bible, Genesis 3:8, what did Adam and Eve do? Genesis 3:8 says this, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord amongst the trees of the garden." Quick, he's coming. Run away and hide. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm running under trees, I imagine there's quite a few shadows. And they ran back into the shadows. As people, we are very good at avoiding God. Maybe even the word sin seems like an old-fashioned phrase now. People don't use it very often. But people do know that their shame and their guilt keeps them locked up in shadows. And those shadows might not necessarily be things that you've done because it's wrong. It might be things that have happened to you and you've been hurt and you've run into the shadows. And God says, I want you to come out of those shadows. Ephesians 5, again, it says this, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that has been illuminated becomes a light. This is why it says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." I don't know if you can remember back to our Ephesians and our James series. If not, go and grab it online again. But we saw that when we step into the light, God doesn't only just deal with the sin, but he turns it into something that actually works for us. Instead of being something that makes us run off and hide, it's not that we celebrate it, but actually it almost becomes that tool in our hands, doesn't it? You know, those dreadful things that were done to me when I was a little boy. Horrendous, awful stuff. And I can run into the shadows, I can be broken by those things, or I can say, actually, I remember Jesus stepping into that situation. And I remember him picking up that little lad and holding him really tight and saying, "Darren, it's all right. I've got you." And then I can tell people about that and I can say, "I can see you're in pain, but I know a God that's going to pick you up and he's going to hold you and he's going to set you free from that stuff." And those things that were dreadful and painful and can just weigh us down in the shadows, God says, "Come into the light." And that was my prayer. I was a little boy that had some awful things done to him. But when I met with Jesus, in my mind, I just saw something beautiful and bright. And that little lad was there and Jesus came and picked him up. And that was me. And I wasn't embarrassed. It wasn't awful anymore. God took that and used it for something incredible. Because if we run back into the shadows, there's an enemy that says, people are going to laugh at you. Don't tell your story, Darren. Even worse, you might be dabbling in stuff that people don't dabble with, that sort of stuff in church. Pfft, don't you dare let anybody find out what you're dabbling in. But actually, what do we do as church? We model Christ, don't we? We stand with somebody who confesses things like that and we say, look, the Father's arms are open and my arms are open. You can be forgiven. That thing, whatever that thing was, no longer has the power or authority to hold us back when we bring it out into the light. Personal testimony of a God who saves really silences those that might try and hold this over you. Remember who you are. You might want to put mark in your Bible on this one. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Beautiful words. If the enemy kicks you and you think you're down, you can say, hang on a minute. You can change you to I am. But I am a chosen people, a royal priesthood. I'm part of a holy nation, God's special possession. Have you ever been called that before? You're God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And this is why we want to remove the shadows of sin. This is why I want to remove the shadows, full stop, those things that hold us back. Unlike many worldviews which don't believe there's absolute truth and everything's subject to change or further rediscovery, you might be doing your Big Bang stuff. We were talking midweek again about that. If nothing exploded into everything, is it going to happen now? Is it going to happen tomorrow? How do we know in a world of chaos and disorder? But actually, we know it's a God of order. James reminds us that God is good and constant all the time. If someone says observable and repeatable, that's what science is about, I will tell you that my God is observable and repeatable and reliable and trustworthy and faithful, and he's true. And James 1:17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So having heard all of this, what is your response this morning? In the light of the last series, do you want to be living well? Do you want to be living well? Has God maybe made you aware again of some areas of your life where there are still shadows? And that's not telling anybody off, but I want to be more like Christ, don't you? I don't want anything hanging over me. Where are those areas where you're still sitting on the fence? You may think you're sitting on the sunny side, but the reality is you are conflicted. You may want what you see. You might even try and convince yourself you've actually got it. But have you been brave enough to take that step of faith yet? I'm conscious of time, and we've got some other things to do in the service, but I just want to give you that opportunity just to sit with God again this morning. Be quiet from him and just take this time wisely. You might not get another chance this week to sit quietly. Use this time wisely just to hear from God. Is he calling you to respond to something today? Maybe to step out from the shadows for the first time or to step out again. And I would invite you to come forward for prayer this morning. And the thing is, I invite people to come out for prayer, and there's chairs at the front. Generally, the front row's empty. But the reason why I say come to the front is not to embarrass anybody, but I think I know the times when I got up out of my chair and I came to the front, and I'd already received what God had to give to me in that moment, because I moved from where I was to somewhere new. And I think you remember that moment. So if God is speaking to you this morning and you want that prayer, then I encourage you to come out during the last song and come and receive that. Move from that place that you are to somewhere new and say, I lay my crown down and I accept all that God has got for me. So let's take a moment just to be quiet and hear from God. My prayer is that as we hear other people's stories over these next few months, as we see how God has shone that light into those shadows of their lives, I pray that God is doing that for us here this morning. And as I've said, I don't want you to leave here this morning. Don't be embarrassed about stepping out from that place into that place of light, because God offers that to us. We don't know yet who's going to go through the waters of baptism for the rest of this year. We don't know who's going to come in through the door and hear that good news. We don't know how many young people might turn up off the back of Higher Tour last night and say, I heard the good news and I've responded to that. And at such a young age, their direction is going to be for Christ. But what I pray is that this is something you think is exciting this morning. That there is a God that calls us from that place into that place of light. We can take joy and comfort that the removing the shadow of sin is really going to lead to a life-changing experience for us. Do you want that? Are you sure? One person is. Do we want that? Do we want to step out from the shadows and into that light, whatever that might be, if God calls us? That's my prayer.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.